I heard this statement, and it was by a secular person. I won't give the name. You would know who it is. And they're not a psychologist. They're just in an interview, they mentioned this once, so I don't know if they originated it. But they said, this is in my message, they said, you'll define, if I can articulate correctly, you'll define the value of your life by the people that you're in relationship with. So we tend to, and certainly the world at times and the culture can say, I value my life by what I have. Toys, nice cars, and those are nice. I mean, if God does things like that, but you can't put them in the casket. Your life is defined to where your relationships are with the people God puts around you and how you do that. And we'll talk, it is maybe part of the message, but I had to take algebra twice. Can I be real? And it wasn't, did you? Okay, I'm sure I'm not the only one in the room. And it wasn't because I wasn't a focused kid. I was on the dean's list occasionally, you know. It was just one of those subjects that's like, you know, and I'll do it again, I guess, to learn I should have done it the first time. But so what we're about to jump into is that we're not teaching algebra today, but what we're going to talk about today, we've taught before. I've taught a little bit. Other pastors have. And going into it was really on the heart that I needed to talk about it. I could just resurrect an old message. But never is not a good word. I never get excited talking about what we're about to talk about. So it's like going back to algebra again. It's like, okay, because most of the time I look in the mirror and say, you're not doing what you're talking about. You know, you've got to recalibrate, realign in what you're doing. And although as God continues to reveal himself to me and many of you, we get better at it through the Holy Spirit. But we're going to talk about stewardship. Woohoo! Glory be to God. So I was like, okay, how do we... We've talked about that. We've packaged it different ways, you know, messages, and they're all good and truthful. Obviously, stewardship is a more of a mechanical, a responsibility, so it doesn't get all the shouts of amen every time, but, you know, it's something we have to do. So I titled this series today and next Sunday, Stewardship is a Blessing. To make it more exciting. It is, scripturally, if you actually read through it and learning more about that. It is part of the spectrum, I hope I don't get ahead of myself, it's part of the spectrum as Christ followers. It's your stewardship as Christians, Christ followers. Your devotion, they go hand in hand. And when you put them together and they're healthy, it produces a healthy life of worship. Not just raise your hands, but a life of worship. You can't have one without the other. If you have no stewardship, but you have great devotion. I read my Bible every day. But I don't do what it says. I know stewardship, then your worship is not going to be aligned to what's going on. We just sang earlier that you're worthy of it all glory and honor and praise. Worship should be always reflected to God. And part of that is stewardship. So let's get into, we're not going to talk about devotion really much in this because we'll get into that with discipleship later on at some point. But I really want to land on stewardship. We have a few slides that will help define what we're talking about. Can you give me the first one? Stewardship is a blessing. Godly stewardship, so here's the definition of godly stewardship, is caring for what God has entrusted to me and you. Keyword entrusted. We'll get into that more. Why don't we keep going? Because there's some anchor ideas here. So here's a mouthful. Living as godly stewards allows God's blessing to flow into your life and into the lives of those around you. I mean, it doesn't just affect you. It affects people's lives around you. However, and that's misspelled. Why didn't that get picked up? However, it still means however. Hey, at least I found out I was right. However, you seek God without a lifestyle of stewardship, which you can go down this delusional range, your life will unawarely look for ownership or dues rather than devotion to Christ. and you will become distant through a self-serving Christianity. Glory, hallelujah, amen. It's a lot right there. So if we take stewardship out of the picture, we will begin to take ownership of things and have dues of things. I'm owed something. It's transactional. I prayed. I should get an answer. You know, all these things. Ownership. But stewardship is simply, well, keep going. Let's keep going. So you got that one? Stewardship is like guardrails that keep us in the will of God in our lives. We're following Christ. There's a motion forward through our discipleship, our disposition. And we have to have guardrails in that journey. And that should be your stewardship. Because if you have no guardrails and it gets stormy out and the roads become slick and you start veering left and right, you're probably going to go off the road into your own devices. Right? So stewardship is very important. A part of following Christ. Let's start at the very beginning. And you know some of these scriptures. And I want to take the time, I want to take the time to go through this series of scriptures. And they may not mean something to you in some of the descriptions, but I'm hoping and I believe that the Holy Spirit continues to open your eyes to see how much God is a detail in design. That he just doesn't, therefore there was light. Yes, he spoke things, but he's very detail-oriented at the beginning. Because see, stewardship began when Adam and Eve were planted in the garden. In the first book, God started with stewardship. So let's go through this. So there's some names, and I may mispronounce some of them, so go with me. But let's go to Genesis 2, 4 through 23. I'll just read it this way. This is the account of creation of the heavens and earth. I'm not going to preach on this now, but notice the word heaven is plural. That's another message. It's not singular. This is the account, let that sit on the fridge or wherever. This is the account of creation of the heavens and the earth. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, plural, keep going, neither wild plants nor grains. Again, we're getting into detail like, Pastor Chris, what are we doing here? Neither the wild plants nor grains were growing on the earth, for the Lord God had not yet sent rain to water the earth. And there were no people to cultivate the soil. Keep going. Instead, springs came up from the ground. He had great workarounds. And watered all the land. Keep going. Then the Lord God formed the man. Hang on. The Lord God formed. He did it. Man didn't make himself. We know that, but do we live it? Do we know it? The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, from the earth. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person, the Spirit of God, life. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and then there he placed the man he had made. Keep going. The Lord God made all sorts of trees. This is the detail of our designer. It's gorgeous. The Lord made all the sorts of the trees grow up from the ground. Trees were beautiful, and that produced delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden, he placed a tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Keep going. A river flew from the land of Eden, watering the garden and then dividing it into four branches. The first branch was called Pishon, flowered around the entire land of Havilah and where gold is found. Details, gold. He created and placed there. Keep going. The gold that was in the land was exceptionally pure. Aromatic resin and oxen stone are also found there. So these details of things that are being created. The second branch called Gihon flowed around the entire land of Cush. So there's life. There's water. Keep going. The third branch called Tigris flowed east of the land of Ashur. The fourth branch is called Euphrates. Keep going. The Lord God. So he designed all these beautiful things. We know it. We've pictured it. We learned it in Sunday school, many of us. The Lord placed the man in the Garden of Eden. And here's the key. To tend and watch over it. To tend. Go back a minute. To tend and watch over it. Everybody say, to tend and watch over it. A.K.A. what? Stewardship. Thank you. The Lord placed him in. Okay, keep going. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden that he created, by the way. Man didn't create. Keep going. Except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you will surely die. This is God saying this. Then the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. Keep going. And all you think Eve was created. See, ladies, he held out. He had animals first to see if they'd get along with the man. So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them. So he's talked about Adam, stewardship, and he's giving him an altitude to fly out of authority to call animals names. And the man chose names for each one of them. Keep going. He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals. But still there was no helper just right for them. The birds kept flying away, I guess. So the Lord God caused the man to fall asleep into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out. Adam didn't do this. The man slept, for God took out one of man's ribs and closed it up, closed up the opening. Keep going. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. Keep going. At last, I don't know if that's the language he used, but at last, the man exclaimed, this one is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from the man. And cut there. So much in here. So much in here. That's why when marriage happens, that's another lesson that you guys, man and woman, become one. Man and woman become one. You can't have two same to become one because they're the same. The miracle design is two different genders, and man and woman become one. That's the miracle. All the ladies said amen. Just God made a pretty neat design there for Adam and Eve. He made an amazing design. And all he asked Adam and Eve to do was to steward what they had in front of them. That's all. To know that they didn't own what they were working in and around. And then we know the serpent came and singled Eve out, because we're talking about that at the men's thing. The enemy likes to individualize, bring, you know, separate the cattle, the herd, the weak. I wouldn't say weakest, but no, don't worry, I'm not saying weakest. But, you know, he pulled Eve aside and began speaking to her. And then Adam came on the scene. Did God really say all this? Do you know you could convert your, basically this is a paraphrase. Do you know you could stop doing this little stewardship thing and probably see greater than God does and begin to own something? And they said yes. They took of the fruit. It was a power struggle of stewardship versus ownership. And it's still the struggle today. Like that phrase, if we do not understand biblical stewardship, or anybody who doesn't even believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will default to ownership thinking. You will. You will. It's part of the sinful nature of what we're designed to do. The problem is, when you take your last breath, you will have some clarity that you were stewards over everything and owner over nothing. Because even your last breath. We just sang earlier, it's your breath in my, your breath in my lungs. So I pour out my praise to you. Your breath. He created the H2O, the water, the oxygen that we need. But yet, instead of stewardship, devotion, worship, now, because of a sinful world, we can do ownership, idolatry, and worship. Does that make sense? Because if you were in the world, you are taking ownership of everything because you're living the lie that Adam said, we can handle it on our own and make our own decisions. We know what good and bad is because we ate of the knowledge of the good and evil. So in that, I have to create an idolatry, unawarely, don't go on the street, hey, you have idolatry in your life. I mean, whatever you want to approach people that don't understand what God has done for them. But you have idolatry, which is the difference of a godly devotion to Christ, and then that will equal what you're worshiping. Worship is very important. Whether you want to keep your arms folded during here, that's just a part of worship. Worship is what you steward with everything else. And we'll talk about that. Most biblical scholars, not a lot of Western churches might agree with what I'm about to say. In the end of days, which we're getting close, I don't need to be prophetic, many churches, and we're not perfect. Thank you, Cindy, for reminding us. We're not. But many, and people have made ministries around this. Many have focused too much on, again, we're talking about worship, too much on a microchip being planted at the end of days, a 666 across our forehead, all this stuff. And if that's true, that's fine. I tend to think there's a lot more symbolism than anything else in Revelations if you really read it and study scholars. But that's another message for another day. What is going to separate us in the end of days is who and what you are worshiping. So it's so important to have your stewardship going now as best you can, because that will create a healthy devotion to Jesus Christ, and then your worship will be only to Jesus Christ. People are dying at their worship in Nigeria right now to say, no, I'm not bowing down to a Muslim lowercase g God. I have accepted Christ into my life, and people are losing their life for that, just as the earlier days, and it may get to that at some point around here. Because the enemy wants you to worship self. So I'm not stewarding anymore. I'm taking ownership of something. My life, my ways, Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. All that stuff going on, and that's a cool song, but you know, if you really, you gotta be careful. God's way, not my way. And then I'm going to begin to put idolatry in things that man created that I think I created and God had nothing to do with. And then that's going to equal my worship at the end of it. This really wasn't the message, but this is going to equal the worship of where I am at the end of days. Because if I'm true, let's go back and agree with some of the church. If I'm truly worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, I do not fear a 666 on my head. I do not fear a microchip in my body. Because you can kill me now and I'll be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I'm not bowing or worshiping to a dragon or any other system that is here. But you've got to understand, the systems are already here. This wasn't the message. The systems are breeding in technology. All in the name of controlling my day better. I'm being a little sarcastic, but it's true. The things are already around us. The beast is already rearing his heads. This is technology. So I'm worshiping. This makes my life easier. Technology. It makes me feel like I control more of my day now. And I'm more connected to the people around me. These are little things. So now I'm going to steward this because I own this iPhone. I know T-Mobile does, but I own it. I'm going to steward. I'm going to own what I see. I'm going to get on. social media and lived there more than in the Bible or any of my devotions. Be very careful. I've had to limit myself. This is my problem, but maybe it'll be yours someday. Don't sit there all day and do that. The enemy is feeding something to you. Yeah, I needed to know what Susie ate for lunch, but it's feeding my spirit and my soul somehow. And it's taking passion and exhausting it into this thing when that passion should be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ at times. We're not all perfect, but we got to at least go somewhere to be close to it, for goodness sakes. Because God's calling us to higher things. And the enemy loves that. Social media, Pastor Gregory, you saying social media is evil? Because you're probably on social media right now. You're right. No, but it can be the tool of the enemy too. About needing to know everybody's business and judging them. And then I look back at my own life and I don't have any time to look at my life. When I'm responsible. So I didn't want to camp here too much. So technology is a big part. You got to be careful. Have a phone. Get on social media. But be stewards of it. Know that you're a steward. You're not an owner of anything. Because when I say I'm an owner, I'm like, I can handle this. That's what Adam said. I can handle this. Oh, I can't believe she did that. I can handle this. Bitterness rising up. Oh, it's so great she did that. That's so neat. Look at what I can do. You know, things like that. I know I'm going off, but you got to be careful. Got to be careful. You got to be careful. How about the people that are at your dinner table? Communicate more with them at times. And I'm guilty of that too. But be careful. Steward this well. Steward that. Steward it well. Where am I off now? Oh, pleasure. That's a great thing. Uh-oh. We have created that we are owed certain pleasures. So this is the non-Christ following. Again, we're going through equations here. We had stewardship, devotion, and worship. And then somebody who's not following Christ biblically, we have ownership in pleasure. That's owed to me. I should be relaxed after a hard day of work. I know I won't give many amens there. No, you should. You should be relaxed. But now you begin to have some idolatry in that of what helps you relax. And the enemy can feed that, whether it's alcoholism or whatever else, or I can't handle it anymore. My confession is, okay, I just ask you to pass the butter at the table. All these little things. And then they're going to equal to worship. What are you worshiping? It's already here. What Satan wants us to buy into and live and not steward but take ownership in. It's. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Because He needs to guide you every day. Matthew 25. We don't have to put it up there. Oh boy, Matthew 20, and we know that. You've got Matthew 25, we've read it many times. I think I quoted it last week or whatever. And Lord, there is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So what we're speaking through your Holy Spirit right now is conviction, but it's conviction in love to draw people closer to you, not far away from you. That being said, Matthew 25 is an end of days prophecy in a sense, but the majority of that all has to do with stewardship. So you have the beginning of Matthew 25, the 10 virgins. There were a certain amount, the 5 virgins, I think. They steward their oil for their lamp. And that's the intimacy with the Holy Spirit. They were stewardships of that. They said, I'm going to steward. I know what's more important right now is to have an intimacy with God through the Holy Spirit than any other thing of doing what every other thing is doing. And then there were the other 5 versions that ran out of oil because they didn't steward what they were supposed to do. And then Jesus comes in for the bridegroom, comes in to that feast. And those other 5 that didn't steward things weren't even around. And the door was locked. You go further down, so stewarding your time in the presence of God and the Holy Spirit is so key. The other part further down is talking about talents. The king was giving talents to servants. And the servants that multiplied, the king was favorable because they stewarded that. Pastor Chris, are you going to talk about money and tithing? Oh, yeah, at some point I will. We won't hit it today, so relax, I think. But stewarding that. And then he comes, then the last parable on in Matthew 25 is a king separating sheep from goats. Everybody go, bah. Bah. Sheep and goats sound the same. They really do, to some degree. I'm not a farmer, but... So you're coming down to the end of the chapter, and the king is saying, you didn't see me in a jail. You didn't give me water when I was thirsty. You didn't do this, you didn't do that. And don't get lost on the location or proximity of what he's saying, jail, water, whatever. The simplicity, and those are true, those are good. The simplicity of what's saying is you weren't stewarding enough because you weren't aware enough of what was around you that I was calling you to. And if we don't steward, we're going to be ignorant of the things around us that God's calling us to. And then at the end, it's not nice. He says, goats go over here, sheep you stay over here because I'm the great shepherd. And he kicks the goats into the eternal lake of fire. How did you see the goats? Wait a minute, I went to church. Wait a minute, I did these things. But you didn't steward everything. Should be, it's a challenging topic to talk about. But in these end days, we need guardrails. And that is stewardship and what he's calling us to do. Here's a person in the Bible we know very well, Abraham, right? Many of them start out by saying Abraham. He was the father of many nations and, you know, the father of faith. And those are all true. But do you know in most of his life, he was the father of great stewardship? Let's walk through it for a second. We won't read everything. But so just quickly, Abraham was able to steward God's voice. He didn't have the Torah, wasn't even written yet. Didn't have a King James Bible yet. Didn't have anything. But he would hear the actual voice of God, the Spirit of God that God lent to him. And he would steward that every time he heard it. And it started with the biggest voice by saying, go! Leave the land you're in right now. I know it's comfortable. I need you to go to Canaan. I need you to leave where you are right now and go there. Abraham knew that he was a steward over everything and an owner of nothing. So he went. And he went to Canaan. And as we know his life, how it poured out, there he was a steward of God's voice every step of the way. Sometimes he listened to his wife one time, but overall he was a good steward of God's voice. Abraham was also a great steward of the resources that God provided for him. Whether it was land or whether it was trained men for battles. There's one Battle of the Kings, I think in Genesis 13 or 14, where he's a peaceful man, Abram, but he goes into this Battle of the Kings. And... He didn't really want to be there unless he had to, but God was shepherding him into that and said, I need you to do that. And Battle of the Kings means there's probably more than one king, right? That's why they titled that. So it was a big war. And he was a little group of people. But God miraculously won the battle through Abraham's troops because he was a good steward in hearing to be part of that war. After that war, he breaks bread and wine with Melchizedek, which we believe could be even an image of Jesus, and gives him a tithe. And after he gives him the tithe, because he's like, I won because of God, not because of how clever we are. I won because I was following the voice of God and stewarding my resources well of trained men that were outnumbered, by the way. And now I'm breaking bread and wine with a high priest, and I'm going to give him the first fruits of what I have. And then the high priests and the kings are like, well, pick all these spoils up too. Because you've can we be gruesome? You've slaughtered a lot of people. There's a lot of jewelry. There's a lot of currency, food, herbs, all that. So grab that on your way out, Abram. And Abram in his stewardship continues to say, I don't want any of this because I need to know the Lord has told me, I've heard his voice, that I only get provision from God and not man. And I don't need you to say, I made you rich, meaning these kings that have defeated. So he walks away from a lot of things. Why? Because Abraham knew he was a steward of everything, but an owner of nothing. And then you go into Abraham's relationships just with Sarah, and to be dedicated, and as she was a God-fearing wife at that point. But here's the biggest one I want to throw at you. How about Abraham, and you're probably thinking of it, Abraham's stewardship with his son Isaac? Will you walk up a mountain to kill your son or your daughter? Abraham knew he was the owner of nothing and a stewardship of everything. So as he heard the voice of God, he stewarded that voice and said, Abraham, I need you to go up a mountain and sacrifice Isaac. That wouldn't even be a rated PG movie nowadays. What did Abraham do? He knew he was to steward that, and he trust God. There's so many levels we could go in on that. But on the surface, he knew, I was here to steward what God's voice is telling me to do. They go up that mountain, and we could live this out. I mean, we can do a whole series on this. You know, that has got to be, Abraham's like, I am a steward of everything, an owner of nothing. Hey, Isaac, hey, Dad, what are we doing? You know, keep walking, keep walking, keep walking. Then he had to settle people aside where it was just him and Isaac because he didn't need to hear any more voices asking him. And he was being obedient because he knew he was a steward of his son. Parents, you're not being asked to go up the mountain, but your kids, you're to steward them. You don't own them. Let's go down this parental trail. If I don't biblically follow this pattern and I go like the world is, I'm going to say I own my kids, right? Let's go down this equation. Then I'm going to create an idolatry of owning them, and then I'm going to worship them. I don't worship my kids. And I'm going to worship them. Or, biblically speaking, we're going to steward our kids because they've been a gift from God. You did have something to do with that. I'm not denying that. But God gave life to them. Now I am going to have a devotion to Christ and see my kids through Christ's lens and be godly parents as best I can be in the situations I am. And then I'm going to worship God and not worship the kids. Many have broken families over this. If you're stewards of, we're not going to get through a lot here. If you're stewards of, I don't know if I want to end this way. If you are stewards of your kids, be careful, and I didn't do it perfectly, my wife and I, but be careful not to put other things in front of God in your stewardship to your kids. Let me get in deeper. Some of you are busy, busy, busy. I love you. Some of you are busy, busy, busy shuttling your kids around to 15,000 sporting events and not being in the house of God when you should be. Ugh, I love you. We're just talking about stewardship. Imagine kids growing up in godly households that are learning how important being in a part of a church community is. Yes, sport. I know some of you will leave, but some sports is important. I was in it. But that was one thing my dad said. Coach, we were, I think it was ping pong. I was such a great ping pong. No. My dad said this to the coach. I think it was Little League. Says, we'll be a part of this, but Wednesday, and this is back in the old times, you know, when we have more time on our hands or whatever. But he said to the coach, my son is not here Sunday. Yeah, but what if he's? If we can agree on that, then he's part of your team. We need to prioritize because we're stewards. Otherwise, we're going to be owning what they want to do, and we love them, but you're going to buy into a system that is going to be ownership, what I got to do and get the kids to do what they got to do, and then idolatry at some point, And then you're going to be worshiping that system instead of what God is calling you to steward. God's stewardship and blessing is far more greater than Johnny having a trophy on my mantle. No condemnation. We all make these decisions. That's fine. And you're not there, but that's okay. Just digest this. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you about these things. But it is sometimes black and white as we get to our end days. It's not to come in here, go whatever church you're playing in. That's fine. But just learn that there's value there too. And what God can do. Stewardship is a blessing. Let me end with, and we're not even there, but let's go down here. So, Pastor, this is all fine and dandy, a little challenging, but what areas are you saying I need to stewardship? Number one, your time. It's a gift, right? You should be thanking God every day. Thank you that I'm here. I didn't create myself. I didn't create this day. Thank you. Steward your energy. Is it on this? Exhausted. And they go away. I'm busy right now. Kids or family. Is it exhausting? You're not stewarding your energy because you do need energy. Steward your relationships. You don't have to bring your Isaac up the mountain. I doubt it. But steward your, whether you're married, single, whatever, steward those relationships. Do not make idolization out of them because that's the system of the world. But steward them beautifully. That is like, you know what? I'm seeing you through Christ's lens. Serving one another, even when you're angry. Your relationship. Stewarding, I'll turn this way. Stewarding your body. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost, Paul talks about. So you need to steward your body. I've had to learn about this. My wife bought some great ice cream the last 2 weeks. This is confession time. And I've had ice cream like every other night. I've never had that, but it's so good. It's called Gary's. It's from summer camp. You feel like you're on a campfire. You like marshmallows. But I have given into that. And lately, I've been convicted in the sense of like, it's nice to have it, but let's not make an idolatry out of it, my precious ice cream or things like that. So, but your body, what you put in it is important, right? We don't need a Christian to tell me that. Just go to a doctor. I mean, there's Christian doctors. Thank you, some in this room. But it's not rocket science. Whatever you put in is what you're going to get out of your body. Exercising, I'm still working on it, but pray for me. But there's different things you can do. There's different things you can do to steward your body, to get stress out of your body, to talk to people about things. That's a biological thing as well, too. But we need to, many Christians said, hey, I'm dying to go to heaven, so what do I care about my body now, you know? It's like, no, God wants you to steward what you have. Steward what you have. Last thing, but not least, your money. Glory, hallelujah. Pastor's going to ask for money. No, I'm not. God's the one that talks about this. What are you doing with your finances? Just on a base level. Do you have a budget? That'd be a good thing. Do you know what's coming out and going in? Or are you just not aware of that? God provided you a job. God provided you the money you have. You should be stewarding your money. Stewarding your money. Can we go another few minutes? Don't worry, I'll leave money in a minute. Stewarding your money. It's getting hot in this room. Steward your money. Then that means when God says, can you give me the first fruit of something? It's in the Old Testament and the New Testament. This comes down to, do we trust God first? It's all it is. Money is just the currency of this idea. Do you trust God first? Do you trust God? Yeah, but Pastor, my balance says this, and if I do what we say, tithe 10% to a church, right, which is what the Bible says, and we may get into that a little more next week, but I can't afford to do that. No, this is where we walk by faith, not by stupidity, but we walk by faith and not by sight. And if our devotion, if our stewardship is in the equation and our devotion is into the equation and we're worshiping Lord God himself, he will reveal and provide miraculous things in your checkbook. Not that I got my new Bentley next week, but he'll provide miraculous things. If I go around this room and like, Before I was tithing, it was paycheck to paycheck. But somehow God, and this isn't just selling you an infomercial late at night of $12.99 something, but the testimonies are there because God says to prove himself in that. Do you trust me? I want the first fruits. I don't want your leftovers. And we'll see maybe next week if we have time to get into it. I can do much more with all the money you have when you give me 10% than all the money you hold on to. I can't work with that. And you'll see a big difference. Yeah, but Pastor, we walk by faith. God needs the opportunity of us to trust him first. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. He's waiting. Pastor, I'll end with this quickly. So, Pastor, I don't understand. You know, I'm not Abraham. I didn't, you know, I'm not hearing the voice of God say, go, move where I am. And don't have an Isaac. Don't have a war. I'm not in a battlefield with kings. I'm not, you know, drinking bread and wine with Melchizedek. I'm not doing any of these things. It's a nice little story to illustrate. But I would like to propose, before we end now, which I am, I'm landing the plane slowly here. I would like to propose there is a scripture that tells you to go. And it's just as validating as 2026 as when Jesus uttered it over 2,000 years ago. We're not in Eden anymore, right? Remember, we started with Eden, Genesis 2. And God, part of that I didn't hit on is God gave us, we're image bearers in that design. The animals are not image bearers. Oh no, PETA. They're not image bearers. We are image bearers. We're human beings. That means even those that are sinning, you need to look at them that they are image bearers. God's image is in there somewhere. And Jesus needs to dust it off. But we're image bearers. To bear what and do what? There's no Eden to tend. I have a garden in the back that my wife and I have been working on. Get some weeds out, things like that. Where's my Eden? Thank you for asking. We know the scripture, but we don't look at it as a stewardship command. Can we go to Matthew 6, 33 through 32? Talking about first fruits and trust. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. That's a stewardship command. Your kingdom, this kingdom is Eden around you. To build his kingdom. To be the light in the darkness. To steward that. Not to just sit on the back porch with a nice tea. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and above all things, and live righteously. If you're stewarding, you're living righteously. And here's the thing that some of our Christianity has backwards. And he will give you everything you need. Keep going. I think I did 34. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Many of us Christians don't want to seek God first, build his kingdom first. And I'm not all there yet either, but we need to have it on the radar as our target and shoot for it. If we seek his first, we want to tend to that kingdom because we're supposed to be stewards in that kingdom. He will provide everything we need. Money, time, energy, anything that we're stewarding. But we need to seek it first. Many Christians say, I'm going to get my needs first. And then on a good day when the birds are singing, I'm going to seek his kingdom first. You guys are going to come back next week? I don't know. This is tough stuff. But that's why we need the Holy Spirit to guide us through that. So there's your command. Go back. 633. Pastor, I don't have a garden to tend. Yes, you do. You have a kingdom to build. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. That's back to Genesis when he told Adam and Eve and tend and take care of, build and steward the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? We've got to steward this. Pastor, I go to church on Sunday. That's great. What else are you stewarding around you? To build kingdom. To build kingdom. Pastor, I'm busy. Well, maybe you're have too much ownership going on in your life of things. And maybe there's some idolatry of things going on. And then your worship is not where it needs to be. Jesus was very, I will be done. Why don't we stand? Because at least that gets me slowing down. Jesus was very clear when he was with the woman of the well in Matthew. Very clear. There's two different paradigms at the well. There's Jesus, the Son of the living Most High God, at the well. And then there's a woman who's been married so many times. Her life has not gone the way she has planned. She's taken too much ownership of something, and she's created too much idolatry in relationships, that was so important above all, and now she's worshiping something other than the man, the Son of Man, standing in front of her right now. And Jesus says to her, they're talking about the legalistic of things, the woman of the well brings up about worship, and Jesus kind of stops her, and he knows who he's talking to, because he's, hey, by the way, Jesus. He says, I'm looking for true worshipers. So that's how important it is to Jesus, especially at the end of the days. I'm looking for true worshipers. That's how he starts. Then he continues, that worship me in spirit and in truth. And that set that woman free and on fire to bring more people to Christ. And she was healed of what she was growing, her brokenness, everything that she was seeking, and idolatry and ownership, worshiping the wrong thing. Now she's worshiping the King of Kings, and she can steward what God's gave her. She even left her bucket. She didn't want it at the well. What is God saying to you? What is Jesus saying to you? I'm looking for worshipers who worship in spirit and truth. So it's very important on what we worship. And yes, it's not just this time we worship here. That is a big part to get the presence of God. But what else are you worshiping? What do you worship in your life? People in that basketball championship, I saw a guy, I'm almost done. I saw a guy, an actor, crying his brains out last night like his cat got murdered. And I come to find out, no, he's crying because the Knicks won. He's put ownership, his life, idolatry, the Knicks, and now therefore he'll worship whatever happens to the Knicks. I choose, and please with me, to steward what God has given me. To devote myself to Christ and to worship the living King of Kings that's soon coming back. Because then everything else is crumbling at some point. Father, in the name of Jesus, I trust these words that I believe you told me to say. Land on not just in the ears, but in the heart. That you're calling us to something greater, of the power of God to be working in our lives daily. Not just in a room, but everywhere we are. Because your presence follows us. Continue to remind us that we are the body of Christ and that we are your children. Lord, if there was some conviction, that's okay. Holy Spirit, you come to convict where we may need to steward better in our lives. Show us that path. Lord, you never leave us, but you keep picking us up and guiding us forward where you want us to go. Thank you for loving us so very much. Thank you for loving us. And Lord, we believe the best days are ahead as we steward and devote and only worship you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. If you need prayer for anything after we're done singing, there's a prayer team here. If you have not surrendered your life to Christ.
Good morning.
Hi, everyone. To do that soon. I don't have
we're
to
glad to have
sell you
here
on anything.
Today.
I mean,
and,
the time is getting
on
short.
This beautiful
Jesus
Sunday.
Jesus loves you so very much.
And, Cindy,
and he died for
good
you.
Good morning. Good morning. Glad to be with you.
Thank you.
And we had a message this morning by Pastor Chris, and he titled it, Stewardship is a Blessing. Mm. And it really is, because God gives each of us not only things to steward, take care of, watch mm-hmm. over, but mm-hmm. gifts and talents
to
be stewards over and mm-hmm. do our best with those while we're here on this
right,
earth.
Right.
And I just appreciated it. I enjoyed the students coming up, the graduates, mm-hmm. and thinking about what they'll need to mm-hmm. steward when yeah. they go out. And we pray that they discover their calling and their purpose mm-hmm. and they walk forward in God's direction for their lives. And then... Mm-hmm. We had you and Dave
yes.
up front. You've been great stewards over the gifts and callings God's given you.
Thank you.
And now you're on to a new adventure. Why don't you tell us a little bit about everything?
Well, it seems, you know, we've been coming here for about a little, what did we say, 4 years, but I think it's a little over three. And we got involved in some of the programs that they offer here. And I think I mentioned it before when we were doing the media. But there's a lot of groups here. And God wants us to be stewards, not just in, you know, money or things that, you know, our house, but steward in our growth with the Lord.
Right.
You know, having, you know, we have the Lord in our lives. And as if you were watching today, you could see that sometimes we can get caught up in the digital world, or we can make things other than God. You know, we're steward of other things, but we're not steward of our lives in our spiritual relationship with Him. And there is, that's what God wants to do with us. He wants us to have that stewardship of it, being careful of not allowing things into our lives that are going to affect us from the relationship, the growth that we have with
distractions.
Him. Distractions. Mm-hmm. And there's ways of doing that. I mean, there's that personal way of doing it every day, reading your Bible, you know, just spending time in prayer, seeking Him for His will in your life, or, you know, the plans that, you know, for your future or whatever you're going through. But it's just so neat to know that we have something greater than anything else to help us to plan the stewardship with Him. We have that in our hands to do that. And that's so important for our growth. It's so important for our walk with the Lord. And again, I think we mentioned about some of the programs here, MomCo, they have Grief Share, they have Youth Group, Flourish, Women's Group,
Men's
Ministry, Ignite, so many things. And that's just a part of being a good steward in your life, because it starts personally. It starts first right off the bat, you know, your relationship with God, and you keep that relationship going. But these other things can help and aid into your growth with the Lord.
Right.
So if you watched it today, you know, stewardship is a blessing.
It is.
And God wants to bless your life.
Definitely. So, definitely. Well put. Well put. So, we're just hoping you got a lot out of it, too. We really did. It's given me a lot to think about.
Yeah, me too, for sure. Yeah,
and,
for sure.
And I know you'll be good stewards when you leave us, but we're sad that they're leaving us. But thanks for joining us. Don't forget, Wednesday nights at 7:30, we have a service here, and 9:30 Sunday mornings. And there's a number on your screen. You can text at any time, and they'll be glad to answer your questions or talk with you, whatever you need. So thank you for joining. God bless you. Thanks for joining us for almost 4 years.
Thank you.
We'll miss you.
Gonna miss you.
And,
especially.
God bless you all. Have a great week.
Okay. Bye-bye. Take care. Blessings.